Okay, count to 10.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay, let's see what we got here. We're interviewing Clyde Hawks, who was Speaker of the House of Representatives in 1961. And Clyde, your first session in the Montana House was 1949.
That's right.
Now, when did you come to Montana?
I was born here. My dad came out here in 1911 and homesteaded. And he lost his wife in North Carolina. So he went back to get her. She wouldn't come to Montana. So he came back here in 13 and met my mother. And they were married in 16. I come along in 18. I was born in a spring wagon out here the other side of the Big Ditch.
And the Big Ditch is?
Irrigates through Yellowstone Valley out on the Billings Bench.
That's the Huntley Project Ditch?
No, that's this side of the Huntley Project.
And was your dad active in politics?
No.
But he was a Republican?
Well, I know he voted for Roosevelt. I do know that.
Well, what motivated you to be a Republican?
FDR. All the way.
What was it about FDR that...
I just didn't like the guy or anything he stood for.
I see.
I was a novice. I didn't know anything about politics or state governments or anything.
Yeah.
But I just didn't like the guy.
And so you first ran in 1948.
Well, let's see. I was buried in 1940. Oh, no, I ran in 48, yeah.
And you were elected in 1948.
That's right.
Your first session was 1949.
That's right.
Session. Do you remember what motivated you to run for the legislature? I mean...
Well, I was on the committee that got the REA into the county, and the attorney on the force was... He was a good Republican. Of course, him and I had been friends. And we come back one night from a meeting, an RE meeting at Lodgegrass, and he waited till everybody else left. Him and I sitting there. He said, "Hawks, we got to have somebody to run for the legislature. The old guy that was there wasn't doing the job." And I said, "If I wasn't for the legislature, my wife would kill me." Well, he says, "Tomorrow's the last day. You got to put it in tomorrow." So we left, and he signed me up. He says, "You pay me the $15 next time you come to town."
Who was that guy? Who was that attorney?
Bert Cronmiller.
Bert Cronmiller, okay.
Yeah, he was a local county attorney and the number one Republican attorney in town.
Was the person that was holding the job, who was the state representative at that time? Do you remember?
Van Cleve. Van Cleve.
Was he a Democrat or Republican?
He is Republican, but he got so confused he voted against his own bill, the only bill he ever had up there.
Huh. Did he run again in 1948?
I beat him in the primary.
You beat him in the primary, I see, yeah.
Yeah. Then I had no opposition. There's nobody on the Democratic side. So I had a clear run.
What was your impression when you first got there in 1949?
Well, I went up to, we had a convention in hell in the first place. That's where I really got acquainted with people. And it was pretty far out for this old country boy, I'll tell you. But they knew I was Republican, but they didn't know what kind. So they set me out in the middle with five or six of the old timers around me. Well, I shaped them around a time or two before before the 51 session come around. So they didn't have to worry about me anymore. They knew I was a...
Go ahead.
I was a team player and all that, so.
Were there any people, in your early recollection, like at that Republican convention or in that first session, were there people that especially stand out in your mind?
Well, Sam Ford, he was still governor.
You met him personally?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Ford was elected in 1940, and I think he was defeated in 48, wasn't he? I think Bonner beat him in 48.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, John Bonner was the governor.
So he was just outgoing governor, but you knew him a little bit. What were your impressions of Sam Ford?
Oh, I liked him. I liked him. He was great. He's my kind of man.
How would you describe him?
Very quiet and persevering and right down the middle of the road.
Good public speaker?
Yes, good public speaker.
Do you remember any issue or any policy connected with him?
No, I didn't serve under him because he was out the time I got in.
When he was defeated in 1948, could you think of why that might have been, why Bonner, what did Bonner do to beat him?
Well, I just really don't know. I wasn't as astute at that time. I got elected without any opposition, and so I was there. And they seated a bunch of old Republicans around me, but they didn't need. I was in the groove before they seated these old timers around me.
And so some of the old names of some of the old timers?
Well, Archie Wilson from Isham, Rosebud County, and an old boy up here from Stillwater. I can't remember his name.
And did you serve with George O'Connor?
No, I never served with George. George was out of it. He'd been in there two terms.
Okay.
But I became real good friend with George O'Connor after he did come back in the legislature after I was there, and him and I became real close friends.
How about Ori Armstrong?
Well, Ori, of course, he's over in the Senate, but good man, good man.
Do you remember a guy by the name of, let's see, would have just started out, he would have been a Democrat in the House when you were there, Carl O'Neill? Young fella?
Where was he from?
Up in the Flathead, young fella.
No, I served all those Flathead boys, but I don't remember him. He must have just been there.
Do you remember Dale McGarvey from the Flathead?
Yeah.
A little bit later, he was a lawyer.
Yeah, I wasn't well acquainted with him, but I knew him.
Knew him? And how about, Junior Spear?
He was my senator from Bighorn County. He really was. And I've known him since 1931. He was a county commissioner there when we first came to the county. And then he ran for the legislature. He had no opposition in 48, and I had no opposition, so we were both in.
Now, he was there for quite a while.
Long time.
How would you describe him?
Very quiet and laid back, but he got things done.
How did he do that?
Personality. He had a terrific personality.
And he apparently was a student of the process, too. I mean, he must have understood.
Well, he was there when he needed to be, and he was on the right side. He'd been there long enough for that. Of course, he'd been in a term before I got there.
Yeah. Now, Clyde, historians write that the Anaconda Company had big influence on the politics of the state, from the turn of the century up into maybe the 1950s or 1960s.
Was that bad?
Well, I don't know.
No, it was not. The best thing that ever happened to this country. And Montana Power. When we had Montana Power and Anaconda Company and the Montana sheep growers and the Montana wool growers run this state. And we run it good. Working back with the local taxpayers and the local counties.
And did you, let's see, Al Wilkinson was a lobbyist for the
Montana? He was a lobbyist for Montana Power, yeah. I never had any pressure ever put on me by Montana Power or Anaconda Company. They were there. I knew they were there, and we were friends. That was it.
Yeah. Did you ever have any, was Keith Anderson there at the Montana Taxpayers Association
yes,
at that
yeah,
time?
Yeah.
And when you mentioned that the Montana Power Company, Anaconda Company, and the wool growers and the stock growers and so on worked with the taxpayers.
We worked with the people. We did. We knew what the people wanted, and that's what we did.
Can you think of an issue or anything that might help?
Well, mainly keeping the property taxes down.
I see. Yeah.
Look at the mess now we got in this legislature. If I'd have been in that legislature, they would never sold out Montana Power. Never.
Yeah.
That's the best thing that ever happened to Montana. I talked to a couple from Butte the other day. I play golf. And I told him, he says, you're absolutely right. That Montana Power was the best thing that ever happened to Montana.
Yeah. And of course, they sold, but they had a legal right to sell.
I guess they did, but yeah. I don't think I would have found something in there somewhere. I don't know what it would have been.
Tried to discourage him.
Yeah.
Do you remember now that there was I got in the legislature just at the tail end of the period when there were the hospitality rooms. But there was supposed to be one that the Anaconda Company had at the Placer Hotel.
We always had a hospitality room. You go up there at 4 o'clock and have your beef sandwich, highball, and that was it.
Yeah.
Then you went out to dinner.
And they were a gathering place where
sixth floor of them, Placer Hotel.
Yeah.
Had one room up there, 601, I think.
Were there other hospitality rooms in addition to that one?
Not that I ever got. They had to be Republican influenced, or I didn't get there.
Yeah. But I understand maybe the railroads may have had one, and the...
Well, they were kind of in together with the Montana Power, and Bell Telephone. My brother-in-law was a Bell Telephone manager. Yeah, they were in it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But there's nothing went on. They served maybe a highball and a prime rib sandwich. That was it.
Yeah.
Kind of a relaxing thing after the day's session. You'd get there about 4 o'clock.
Did you ever discuss legislation?
There's certain bills up, sure. Yeah. Sure, we discussed it, but there was...
I'm just trying to think of some names of some other people you might have served with during that period of time that might have stood out in your memory. Was Jim Lucas there when you were there?
Young Jim was there, yeah. He was a freshman just before I left from Mount. And Archie, the guy from Roosevelt County up there, can't think of his name right now. He was a Republican, kind of a liberal Republican, but a good man.
Archie Wilson?
Well, I served with Archie Wilson Sr., yeah. He was one of my seatmates.
I see.
Now, and, of course, his son was my neighbor down on the Bighorn.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you were speaker or when you were a legislator, but especially when you were speaker, did you have a group of people, maybe Junior Spear and Jim Lucas and some people that...
No, we weren't.
Well, that's what I mean.
I had my floor leader, Anderson from Billings.
Jerry Anderson.
He was a good floor leader.
Did you have
and him and I run that thing. I mean,
was just you and Jerry?
That's it.
And that was even in terms of appointing the committees?
Okay, I got something there for you.
Okay.
And George O'Connor was in on this. Suggested to the guys that I was interested in the speakership, because this is the first time Republicans have been in control. They said, we're behind you. So George O'Connor, he was working for Montana Power then. I didn't know he's a pilot, but he flew down there in a twin-engined, but in Queen Air, like, buzzed my house, and I went up to that old airport there at Fort Smith, and he landed, and him and I had a little get together, and he said, well, you got to get, and I decided on this early session, because we'd gone up there before, we sat around, didn't get nothing done. So we had the early session in Bozeman, the first time it had ever been done, but I called it, because I was the dean of the house then. And we set it up for Bozeman for such and such a date, had a two-day meeting there. And
now, why did George O'Connor come to visit with you at Fort Smith?
Well, why? We were Republicans. He was just the same thing I was. I didn't think anything about it.
But you were talking to me about putting together the committees?
Well, I had a list of all the committees and their seniority. I said, I'll have these committees set up when we convene in Bozeman. And I did. I had them all set up on them. And we voted them in right then in Bozeman.
Okay.
And Monday morning, after I went in on the 1st of January, after I gave my little short acceptance speech, I said, well, now we're going to set this thing out. I read off the list of all the committees, and they were all taken care of. Those that had seniority on it, they were on there.
Sure. The meeting in Bozeman, Clyde, was that a caucus? Was that just Republican?
It was a caucus, the same one that we had in,
okay,
in Helena the night before the first session, okay, the day before the first session.
But you got the Republicans, the majority party, together in Bozeman before then, well before the legislature, to kind of get them organized and get them...
Well, but I never read off any of the members of these committees until after we convened in Bozeman.
Yeah.
Or in Helena, the first day, and after my little short acceptance speech of thanking the membership for, I read off the committees.
Yeah.
Chairman, vice chairman, all the members. They were passed out. And then the Senate sat over there for 2 weeks, never did a damn thing. We couldn't even pay our bill because, you know, you got to have both houses.
Sure, yeah.
We sat there for... That really teed me off. And I don't know whether they still do it or not, but that saved so much time. It was all done the first day.
Yeah. And but you basically got it done at your meeting.
I done it at my own lead. I knew what the seniority... What the seniority was in all the committees. And both... Democrat and Republican, and I had chairman, vice chairman, and all. There wasn't anybody left out. No, everybody was there.
And the Republicans had the majority, so you had the majority in all the committees.
Sure.
Now you mentioned,
and I told them it all over. I said, "Now this is it, fellas. You got any complaints? You know where to come. Yeah. I'm the guy."
Yeah.
There's nobody else helped me on that. Nobody.
Did who was the Democrat leader in 61? Was it Schwinden?
'61.
You were speaker in 61, weren't you?
Yeah. We run the show, and we didn't do it overbearingly. We just ran it. We had the votes, and old Jerry Anderson, he was a superb floor leader, the best that ever was.
Yeah. But I think Ted Schwinden might have been the minority floor leader then in that session. Do you remember that?
Well, I'd have remembered it if he had. Now, there's no liberals in there.
No, but on the Democrat side.
Well, he could have been. Yeah, He could have been.
Yeah.
He could have been.
Are there any Democrats that stand out in your memory from when you were a legislator?
Oh, yeah, the little old guy from Stillwater County up there.
Webb Keller.
In fact, I went over to listen to a vote one time that he was interested in, a stock growers vote, and he was, I was standing in the back there. He was wanting me to get on the floor and talk, you know, I just stare visiting. Well, I was smart enough not to do that.
Do you remember Gene Mahoney?
Oh, yeah, Gene was all right. He was a little too liberal for me, but we got along all right. I got along with all of them.
You mentioned someone was a kind of a liberal Republican. Were there any other Republicans?
Yeah, the guy from Jordan. You know who I mean, the old senator.
Oh, Charlie Mahoney.
Charlie Mahoney.
Yeah.
One of my best friends. Now, he didn't know quite where he stood, but he was always there. He was, and I just admired that guy. In fact, him and I bought that prison ranch up there. You know, we knew we needed a new prison ranch, and we didn't get the job put together, so we set aside money in the appropriations bill and leave it to the governor to appoint. So he appointed Charlie Mahoney and I, and Arnold Olson was in on the deal then. He was attorney general. We bought it from Bill Foxley, $20 an acre for that 30,000-acre ranch.
That's the one in near Deer Lodge?
That's the one in Deer Lodge. Yeah, they moved it right out of there, right up the creek.
Yeah.
And we had a guy in there that, he worked for Montana Power. He come home one night, and his wife was in bed with some other guy in his house. And He killed them both. So he got a life term.
Wow.
But he was a good man. First thing we did is build him a little square house up there for his engineering right at the gate of the new prison. He put together that whole prison, architectural designs and everything.
What was the guy's name? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but we got our money's worth out of him, I'll tell you.
I'll be darned.
Yes, we got our money's worth out of him. The last time I was up to one of these prenuptial things, these two old guys from Deer Lodge came over, and I'd known them way back. They were active in politics, but they weren't into politics, but they were always active. At Hawks, said, that prison ranch was the best thing that you ever did for Powell County. I said, I knew it. I knew I'd handled that appropriately for so many years. And they were going out to leased farms, you know, and had security problems and everything. He said, that's the best thing that ever happened.
Well, it's still owned by the state.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
still owned by the state.
Well, there's a lot of money then, you know. $20 bucks an acre. But now it's cheap.
Clyde, your mention of the prison ranch reminds me of Wellington D. Rankin.
Yes. Well, when I first got in the legislature. Now, my son, he's raised Republican, but he got to school long. He's kind of turned Democratic. He was in the legislature this time, and him and I, we don't talk politics because I don't agree with him. But he was up there at Page a couple times with me, and then he worked up there one session. Got a good head on him, but he's got too many liberals. Plus, he lives with a liberalized woman, you know. Uh-oh. That don't help him a damn bit.
But you were going to tell me about Wellington D. Rankin.
Well, he wasn't he the warden then?
No, that might have been Austin Middleton.
Well, Middleton was in there too, but
Wellington Rankin was a prominent old Republican.
He was active in that prison too, somewhere, because he used to get all the guys out of there to work on his ranches.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what reminded me when you talked about the prison ranch. I knew about that.
So the first. After our first session, there's about a half a dozen of us guys. We got together up at Bill McKay's ranch one Sunday, had a little picnic get together, and our next convention, we had our own people signed up. Mr. Wellington D. Rankin was out as national committeeman, and we had a new guy in from Kalispell.
Jim Murphy.
Murphy. That took care of that situation. And so my son said, there's a few things the Republicans don't... Well, I said, if there is, you get in there and change it. He said, both Democrat and Republican want me to run. I said, that's no good. So he ran as a Democrat. He got beat by 3 points. See, I told you.
Yeah.
I told you, if you'd stayed in there, you'd have been in there.
But you've got a son that's in the Senate now.
Well, yeah, but he's a damn Democrat.
Oh, he's a Republican.
No, he isn't.
Well, he was elected as a Republican.
No, he wasn't. They might do it different now than they did, but he's not a Republican.
Huh. Well, your son is...
Well, he's a good man.
Is Bob?
Bob?
Yeah. Well, Bob Hawks is a Republican senator from...
No, he's not. You check it out. Well, where the hell is he now? Well, there he is with his family.
Yeah.
He was in the Air Force. He's got kids in every country in this union. Well, but he did educate them.
Yeah, well, that's great.
He got them married.
Yeah.
But he sowed his oats. I got one woman, 6 years, we had six kids. I got 25 great-grandchildren and 15 great-grandchildren.
Well, that's great. Well, tell me about Hugo Aronson. Tell me about Hugo Aronson.
Oh, the best. And he was the governor when we bought that ranch. We went out there with Alex Stevenson, the head of the highway patrol. He was our driver. Oh, Hugo got out and opened all the gates for us that day.
Huh.
Those three guys, Charlie Mahoney and I forget who the other guy was now in the back. Well, we had Arnold Olson. I didn't like him, but I get along with him.
And Arnold Wilson, of course, was the Attorney General.
Well, sure. He was in all night committees, see? And we sat down to the Placer. I've been out there all day. We sat at the Placer Hotel one morning till 1 o'clock. Closing the deal, $20 an acre. And turned it over to the legislature. I wasn't there then after that, so I wasn't in on the finalization, but we had her all set up.
Yeah. You met and knew Governor Aaronson?
Hmm?
You met and knew Governor Aaronson personally?
Good Lord, yeah. He was state finance chairman for years. He used to travel all the counties, you know, for election. I knew him then, and I was on the House Highway Committee. He was on the Senate Highway Committee. This tax bill that we have now with the farmers with a 20%, who do you think put that in? Hugo Aaronson and I. And it's still in there. I don't think they've ever changed that bill.
Which one's that now?
The highway tax bill. We cut the farmers. You know, they're going to tax the farmers the same rate as a over-the-road trucker. Farmers couldn't handle that. So we got them at a 20% tax cut. That's still that one.
I see. Okay. Okay. And
all these years, they've never changed it.
And that happened when you were in the House and Hugo was in the Senate.
That's right. That's right.
And then Hugo was elected governor in 1952.
Yeah. And this all happened before he was elected governor. But him and I, we had a good rapport, that guy. I tell you, he was the greatest.
How would you describe him?
Oh, just a honest, down-to-earth guy, as honest as you'd ever get. What he said he meant, and he did. My kind of citizen.
And he defeated Bonner, John Bonner.
Yeah, I guess he did. Yeah, old Johnny got tanked up down in Baton Rouge, governor of Montana, on his overcoat. Yeah, he didn't know where to go or coming down there. This happened before the election, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, he defeated him, yeah.
And so the governor then lived in the old, what we call the old governor's mansion in Helena, the old
yeah,
house.
Yeah.
Do you remember ever being at any kind of a function or anything there?
Well, no. I was kind of against the new governor's mansion, but we went for it anyway. Unfortunately, I served as governor a few times after Nutter was killed, you know.
Yeah.
And Nutter's killed, I took that Lincoln Day circuit. First time I'd ever done anything like that. Started at Northeast, Highline, Missoula.
So Governor Nutter was killed in a plane crash in 1962, I think in January of 62.
That's right.
And Republicans traditionally have Lincoln Day dinners in the winter. January, February, and March. Mm-hmm. So after Governor Nutter was killed, and while you were Speaker of the House.
I took his circuit that he had lined up to go on.
And you did some of the speaking that he would have done.
I did it all, and nobody else went up but me. And I wasn't a speaker.
Because Tim Babcock was busy being governor.
He was busy being governor.
Yeah.
Then he wanted me to run for governor with him. He says, you and I run just like Tim and I. You know him? And
yeah.
$20 a day? And I had a feedlot full of cattle losing money. I said, you got to be crazy. Sure, I'd like to be lieutenant governor. But not those conditions. I don't know what they're getting now. But I know they're getting big money.
Yeah. Huh. But you might have run with lieutenant. You
I
could
would
have.
Because he didn't like a guy from Great Falls.
Ted James.
He didn't like Ted James.
Yeah.
It was a personality thing with him. I always liked Ted. I didn't see anything wrong with him.
Yeah.
But he said, I want you and I to run like that. No, but it didn't work. They were elected.
No, Ted James, sometimes some people considered him a liberal.
Well, he was a little more liberal than Tim and I was.
Yeah.
But a lot of liberal side of the Republican Party.
And you mentioned the same thing about Charlie Mahoney.
Well, yeah, you never knew quite what side Charlie was, but if he was for something, he was for it. You could depend on it one way or the other.
Well, Charlie, you mentioned you were involved in the rural electric co-ops with the rural electric
co-ops. Well, I was on the board down at Harden, but I wasn't involved with him. He was on this central thing, the two-state deal. He was on a little bigger co-op than I was. Now, when I ran down there, of course, we had a bunch of board members who were Democrats. I said, well, you got to resign now. You can't be on the board of directors. Well, I found out later I could have stayed on, but I didn't. I just resigned, got out of their hair. And
Well, Charlie Mahoney, I think I remember, because of his connection with the REAs.
Yes, that's what he was. Northeast corner of Montana and part of North Dakota.
He had some kind of a conflict with Montana Power Company as the result of that.
I think maybe he did. I wasn't involved with that.
I think that might have been the basis for that. I don't know. You don't remember that?
Well, this would have been before I got in, if that was the case.
Yeah.
That could have been. Yeah, I think maybe there was a lawsuit or something. So maybe that's why they said that.
Do you remember?
And I didn't fight it because it wasn't a big deal with me.
Do you remember a guy by the name of Lloyd Crippen?
Oh, yes, Lloyd Crippen, the best, as far as lobbyists. He never put the B on you. And what was it? Boo McGilvery.
Tell me about him.
Okay. Boo and his wife, and of course, my wife couldn't go up there. We had six little kids. I loved to dance, and those gals loved to dance. I used to go out Junior Spirit, his wife. The four of us, you know, would go out. Part in and we'd have a few drinks and whatnot. And let's see, what was I headed?
Boo McGilvery.
Yeah. Oh, one fall I was kind of a slow campaigner. I never liked the campaign. Jeez, I just hated that campaign and asking people to vote for it. So one fall I had sugar beets. I was just about through on down at the end and car pulled in, here's old Boo McGilvery, who we visit. He says, how's the campaign coming? I says, I'll tell you when I get these beats out. Then I'll campaign. Well, he went to leave, he reached his pocket. $300-$400 bills. I said, Boo, I've come this far by myself. And I'm going the rest of the way by myself. I says, you take that and give it to somebody else. I said, I could use it, but I don't need it. I can get my own money. And I never borrowed a dime from anybody. In all the 16 years I was there, I paid it all myself.
You mean just for like campaign signs and things like that?
Yeah.
Expenses for a campaign?
There wasn't much.
Yeah.
Well, now I take it back. The last year I was there, then I signed a right to work petition one time way back in the 30s. Well, that labor bunch down there built Yellowtail Dam, they took after me. So I did. I got a committee, and I suppose we raised $40-$50 for camp. But hell, I got beat anyway, so I didn't make any errors.
You got beat?
Yeah.
When was that?
1960.
Well, you were speaker in 61.
Well, it was next session, or 62, and...
Okay. Huh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, that was labor union. They took out after me, and they not only beat me, but they beat every Republican in the county by 1,000 votes.
Who beat you?
The labor unions.
But who was the Democrat candidate who beat you?
Bill Christensen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I served with him. Yeah, he was a...
Yeah.
He was a
and Bill was a good man. I mean, he was...
He was the Ford dealer in Hardin.
Yeah, he was not as conservative as I was, but he's a good man. And in fact, time before I, like I said, well, we'll get somebody next time, somebody a little more class to beat you next time. So this is the guy with the class.
Yeah, I served with Bill Christensen myself. He was the Democrat leader in the House of Representatives in 71, my first session when I was a freshman there. And Lucas was the speaker. Yeah.
Lucas.
Jim Lucas from Miles City was the Republican speaker in 71.
Oh, did he? Well, I did. Yeah. I'd forgotten that. I'd forgotten. Because I got out of there, when I ran the first time, I got up there and I see how important seniority was. I didn't make this decision before the session, but after that session, I said, I'm going to run till they don't want me anymore. I made that decision, so I did. I ran till they beat me out after I was speaker. Now, the Republicans wanted me to go back in the second time like George O'Connor did. But I had a feedlot full of cattle, it was costing me money, and And I'm sure if I had a run, maybe the next time, I might have got in. I don't know, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Make any difference anyway. It was a public service job and I was in there. I mean, that was it.
Yeah.
I only got, if we had a state meeting up there, we did get, was it 5 or 8 cents a mile up and back. That was it.
That was it, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Now,
and then Tim put me on the Water Resources Board. Well, that's a 6-year term. And that pays your expenses, and if there's any travel, it pays your hotel and all that. So I was on that for 6 years. And then from that, I went to the Western States Water Council. That's 11 Western states. We had a meeting every month in a different state. My expenses were paid for that, but I think we got $15 a day when we were out of state for motel, and then, it paid its way, and that was about it.
Yeah. Clyde, when you were a legislator from Bighorn County in the 50s, your district, Bighorn County, had a lot of Indian voters.
We always did. Hell, we always hit the Indian precincts.
And did you get along with them?
Yeah, I got along great with them. He had to support the damn peyote, but I wasn't in favor of it, but I didn't.
What was the peyote bill?
The peyote bill, they're... Oh, yeah, they had peyote leaders in every community. Well, I got in on that.
Now, explain what peyote is.
Well, it's a drug that they use, boil it, make a tea out of it. I never had any. I don't know whether it did anything for you or not. But
the Indians used this drug as a part of their ceremonies?
Yes.
And they wanted to be able to do so legally?
Yeah.
So you helped them do it?
Yeah.
And the legislation passed?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember some of the Indian leaders that were involved in that?
Two brothers, they were World War II flyers. What is their name? I can't think of. They're still around. I see one of them here the other day, but I can't remember their name.
Real Bird?
I knew all the Real Birds, too, but they were chairman, that sort of thing, but they weren't in the hierarchy like these other guys. One of them was a historian for the Crows.
Medicine Crow? Medicine Crow?
Yeah.
Was Joe Medicine Crow involved?
Yeah.
Did you ever know Robert Yellowtail or Bill Yellowtail?
Oh, I knew Bob. Yeah. Or I'm glad Buddy is, yeah.
Now, there was a controversy, Clyde, involving Yellowtail Dam, wasn't there?
Well, not per se. I worked for Yellowtail Dam every day of my life, and there's a Yellowtail Dam that beat me. There was a labor force on the Yellowtail Dam, so it beat me.
Well, there was a congressman named Orvin Fiore.
Yeah, well, he got into it back in Washington, and then he came back to Montana, and him and I were seatmates in the legislature.
Well, somehow or other, I've been told that Yellowtail Dam, the issue involving Yellowtail Dam, defeated Orvin Fiore.
Well, there was some anti-dam people in the works then, I guess. They never did bother me. I always worked for Yellowtail Dam. I don't know whether he got mixed up some way or another in the local politics. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because the Liberals, they were for all that stuff back then, and the Republicans weren't, but I was a Republican that was for it.
Yeah.
I lived 8 miles from it.
And you wanted the jobs and the irrigation project and so on?
Well, I wanted to clean up that river.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing that ever happened, that dirty river. Every get have a big storm down below me, get much more water, wouldn't even run down a ditch.
Huh.
That old red silt,
Yeah. And the dam was named for Robert Yellowtail.
Yeah. They did that to kind of appease the Indians, I think.
Who was Robert Yellowtail?
He was the chairman of the Crow Tribe.
I see. And you met him and knew him personally?
Full-blood chairman. Oh, yeah. He's a good man. Good man.
How would you describe him?
Well, he was a sincere politician. He was a good one.
Good public speaker?
Yes.
Would you have any idea what his political leanings were?
He's Republican.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Until Kennedy come in, then that changed the whole damn thing around.
I see. Oh, he switched to Kennedy, or?
Well, yeah, hell, they switch around, you know.
Yeah. Huh. Now I.
But he was still loyal to the Republicans, but I was out of it by then.
Yeah, I knew his son Bill, and served in the legislature with Bill Yellowtail.
Now, is he a son or?
I don't know. Could it be a nephew?
I think it's a nephew.
Could be.
I think it's a nephew. Yeah. See, Bob Yellowtail was not a full-blooded Crow. He was from one of the other tribes.
I see.
But he had an education. He had a better education than I ever had.
Yeah. I understand he was quite a good public speaker.
Oh, he was good. Yeah. He was good.
Now, Carroll Graham replaced Junior Speer in the Senate. Did Graham beat Speer?
Yeah.
So
see, when I went out, every Republican in the county went out by 1,000 votes, me included.
Yeah.
It's just because of the change in politics. Junior Speer, you know, Kennedy came in, and the whole political thing changed.
Yeah. And so I served with Carroll Graham also, and Carroll had a reputation for being a pretty conservative Democrat.
Well, he was pretty conservative, and I graduated from high school with him. I used to go with his wife all the time.
Nellie Yvette?
Nellivet, she was a good friend of my cousin. Hell, I went with her all for several years before she met Carol.
Yeah,
And I knew Carol's uncle. And I knew all of his relatives. They were conservative Democrats. I didn't have much trouble with conservative Democrats. It's when they got in that liberal swing. That's when I got away from them.
Do you remember that he must have been? I think he was regarded as a liberal Democrat. Gene Huntley. He was in the Senate. He might have come after you.
Well, he was a reporter, national reporter.
Not Chet Huntley.
Not Chet.
No, this.
Oh, Gene Huntley. Yeah, Gene Baker. Huntley. Let's see now.
He was from Baker. He was a lawyer.
Yeah. He was a little too liberal for me. But I never did serve with him.
Do you remember a guy by the name of John Schiltz? Jack Schiltz. I think he was in the House here from Billings.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he might have been a Republican.
He was.
But I think he was regarded as somewhat of a liberal.
He was part of the straight eight.
Okay, all right. What? Now,
who was the big, tall Batten?
Yeah, Jim Batten?
He came in about the time Jim Batten did. And I suppose he was more liberal than I, but that didn't bother me. As long as you're Republican, that's all I cared about.
Now, Clyde, what was the straight eight?
Eight Republicans from Yellowstone County.
And that included... But
I was the ninth from Bighorn County.
I see. Okay.
I was. And I knew every damn one of them, personally. Yeah. Old George Pierce, you know, he started back here in the 20s selling Ford cars.
Yeah.
Used cars.
Yeah.
And I used to stay in Hardin with his sister and brother-in-law, Morrison. He was the local Continental man there. I used to stay with them when I went to high school. So I worked my way through high school, too. I didn't have anything.
Did Boo McGilver ever tell you any of his stories? Apparently legendary for telling stories.
Left-handed Indian looking south. he's a great guy. That Boo McGilver. That no better lobbyist in the world, nigga. And he put the B on me, wanted to give me some money, and I just give it back to him. And he says, here, give it to somebody else. I said, I've come this far. This is towards you. I says, I've paid my own way. It never cost me much, you know, $40, $50 a year. Well, I was a young married guy with six kids, and I said, hell, I could handle that somewhere or another.
And then, as you mentioned, political campaigns didn't cost very much money.
No.
Boo was, he was pretty well informed, too, in terms of the issues in the legislature.
Well, he was that Indian bunch up there, too, you know. He kind of kept me lined out on this peyote thing. Yeah. Oh, he's a good man. And his wife, she was a great gal, too.
When you say he was a good man and he was an effective lobbyist, what did he do? What was his technique?
He just got to know people.
I see. Did he travel around then? He must have traveled around the state some.
He came to my house one time, and I turned him down.
Yeah.
I said, go give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I suppose he's around probably with all the Republican candidates. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the only time I ever had a lobbyist offer me any money. I said, I'm on your side all the time, one way or another. I mean, that's the way I think, and that's the way it's going to be. When I left the house up there, that speaker by, oh, what's his name here, the local artist?
Jim Hoy.
Jim Hoy.
Yeah. He painted that picture for you?
That's his picture. Well, they gave it to me.
That's beautiful.
House membership, $350 picture.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
That's the prized possession I've got.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And this is down on the Tongue River where my wife was raised, up above the Flying V there. Yeah.
Now,
that's my son, Chase, that was killed. Chase Hawk's grandson.
Uh-oh.
You know, they have that Chase Hawk's Memorial Rodeo here.
Yeah, he was killed in a rodeo?
First day of school.
Oh, boy.
6 years old.
Oh, boy.
Then I got a 15-year-old. His uncle was killed. Well, that's Howard. The uncle that was killed was next to Howard. See, that's Howard and his boy and me and the grandson. That's four generations there.
Huh.
They lived. Chase, he's still over there in Iraq. I wish he'd get home.
He's over in Iraq in the army now?
He was a bullfighter, you know. Now he's fighting him damn near. I'm scared to tell you himself. He's with a he's not in the service anymore. He's with a private outfit.
Oh.
But he's going to be home here in the middle of July. I hope he.
Yeah, I hope so.
I didn't like it when he was fighting bulls, but I'd rather have him fighting bulls than over fighting them Iraqis.
He was a bulldogger? Is that what he was? Or a bull rider?
No, he was a. He rode him.
Rode the bulls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I turned on here one Sunday, they were out here, Boise. This buddy of his grandparents lived down here about four blocks. Turned on here, this bull had this buddy of his down on the floor of the arena working him over, you know. And old Justin went around and tickled the bull's nose. Well, the bull took Justin, caught up with him, threw him up on his back. Last I saw Justin, he was going off the back end. I shut it off. Never looked at any more rodeo after that.
Ooh, I can imagine. Were you involved in the Stock Growers Association?
Yeah, I was on the board.
State board?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did the stock growers take a role in state politics?
Well, just, you know, inadvertently, they were always at the, you know, stock growers and the sheep growers. They had two separate chairmen, you know.
Yeah.
They all worked together. We worked together, you betcha.
In the legislature? For generally just to promote the livestock industry.
We didn't go along with the Farmers Union much.
Yeah. What are your impressions of the Farmers Union?
Well, I've fought them ever since I was a teenager. They tried to indoctrinate me when I was a kid. It didn't work. Their indoctrination didn't work. It was absolutely opposite the way I thought.
Describe how they thought and how you differed with them.
Well, they're just liberal and wanted all these government programs. Well, I like some government programs, you know, as long as within reason.
And you said when they tried to indoctrinate you, the Farmers Union had camps, didn't they, for kids?
Oh, yeah, they tried to send me to a camp and everything. I never bought on that one. I didn't buy on that one. They even come and lobby my folk.
Huh.
Well, my dad didn't know anything about them. But they've been working on me as in the youth program, and I just didn't like their philosophy.
Were they, did they have some power in the legislature?
Not when I got there.
Do you remember a big battle? I think it would have occurred in the 1959 session over what they called PUDs, public utility districts.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you remember about that?
Well, I don't remember anything specific, but this was when the, of course, they were always in the background, even in Republican politics, and when we got in the 60s, we got rid of all that stuff. Maybe that's not the way to run it, but that's the way we wanted to run it.
Yeah. Do you remember the bill? I think I mentioned Dale McGarvey to you. And there was a fellow named Cy Tonner from up in the Flathead, Representative Cy Tonner. And I think he was the guy who introduced the public utility district bill. And Gordon McCumber was involved
in
that.
Yeah, I served with Gordon. He was Republican, but he was more... a little more liberal than I was.
Yeah. Well, Gordon, remember, was he was a Democrat. He went on to be lieutenant governor.
Well, I guess he did later on, but he's Republican when I knew him in the beginning.
Well, he's never elected to the legislature.
Well, he may not have been. He may not have been. But when I got out of it, that was it.
I see.
I put in my apprenticeship, and I did everything I thought was right. And I knew someday it would come. And my wife, she didn't want me to get in politics to begin with, but she was up there doing research. She was chairman of Legislative Ways, and I was a speaker, so she kind of got, even though she raised six kids, she got with the program.
Clay, do you remember you served in the legislature too, although he was in the Senate when you were in the House with Don Nutter. And then, of course,
he was in the House all the time that I knew Don Nutter.
Don Nutter?
Oh, yeah. Yes, he was a Republican from Richland County.
Yeah, right. That's right, yeah.
He was the best. He was the best.
What do you remember about him?
Oh, he's just a no-nonsense, down-the-road kind of guy. I mean, he didn't deviate for anything either.
Yeah.
And if he hadn't got killed, he would have got rid of this. We would have got this liberal bunch in there in the mid-60s. He'd straighten that thing up. He would have.
Did you ever meet him personally?
Oh, hell. Played cards with him every Monday morning when I was speaker. We'd have a policy meeting down in Governor's reception room. About all of us that were, we'd get down there and the side door would open. We'd all stand and attend. All right, you sons of bitches, that's enough of that. That's the kind of a guy old Don Nutter was.
So
he was that way all the time. And a perfect gentleman with the ladies, you know.
Yeah.
And his wife, she was a neat gal, too.
Yeah. And so in the policy meetings, you just discussed what was the legislation that was coming up and what you were trying to do.
What our agenda was for the week, you know.
Yeah.
We had Republican committees. I set them up to begin with.
Oh, sure, you bet. You bet.
And we had all the committee chairmen there then, too.
It sounds like Don Nutter had a good sense of humor.
Oh, good sense. All right, you sons of bitches, that's enough of that.
Now, well, did he smoke cigars? Do I remember that?
I think he did, but not... Well, I quit my first session. I was a smoker too, but I go up there and I couldn't. And I come home and I quit. My sister, who was 8 years younger than I was, she was a heavy smoker. I tried to get her to quit. And all those stuff. I said, "Sis, they'll kill you." Well, I buried her on her 75th birthday.
Oh boy, that's too bad, yeah.
Pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
Heavy smoker. She socially drank. Well, I socially drank too. But always knew when I had enough. Even when I went back to the bootlegging days. Well, my dad was raised on the south side of the Blue Ridge Mountain. You know where that comedian was from back there? God, what I can't even think of his name now. He come from his same town. And hell, there was a still in every one of those coolies.
Huh.
Well, my dad was married, he was 15, and him and his wife had a little girl. She died of a brain tumor. He was a widower then with a little girl, 15 months old. That's when he came to Montana.
Oh, wow.
His mother-in-law, who his in-laws were, they were Baptist preacher and his wife, they took the little girl and he came out here. And he was going to a school teacher. So he went back there to pick up a school teacher when he homesteaded, and she wouldn't come out here. So then he married my mom, and they come from a family out here in Billings, Mansa, moved out here from Illinois. And my daddy, granddaddy, he was a responsible old guy. He had carbide lights, he had water, running water, he had a hydraulic ram with water in the corrals. And he had it all.
Did you, what were your recollections, Clyde, of Tim Babcock?
Great, the greatest.
You served in the legislature with him, I guess just briefly, well, he was governor.
Well, I served with him from Yellowstone, Custer County.
Yeah.
And he went to service, and Betty, I thought the world of her, and of course I knew Tim's brother, that's the one that runs this old concrete to Yellowtail. I knew him real well, too. And, yeah, he came from about the same kind of a background as I did, I guess. Of course, then he went to the... He hadn't married yet. He went to the service. See, I was married in the summer of 39. And the draft came along in October. So...
But you served in the, when Tim was in the House from Custer County, and then as well as when he was in the House from
Yellowstone County.
And you mentioned too Jerry Anderson, Jerome Anderson, who was the majority or the floor leader when you were the Speaker.
Tim come in here. He was part of the Straight Eight too.
Yeah. And you worked closely with Jerry in leadership in the House.
Yeah. Well, I worked with Jerry. Told him it was all him and Felt. I mean, all friends, and they wanted to know if I was politically ambitious. I said, no, I'm not politically ambitious. I'm not a good speaker. And I could probably get to be one, but I'm not. And I said, I've got a ranch to run. I've got kids to raise.
Yeah. Now, Clyde, you mentioned that Governor Nutter had a policy meeting in the governor's conference room that included the legislative leaders. Was Jerry Anderson?
It was a combination thing between the leadership in the House and the...
Was Jerry Anderson in on those meetings?
Oh, yeah, sure he was.
And
Jerry Anderson was in on everything. And when I decided I wanted to run for governor, he says, I'll run for it for majority leader. Yeah.
Yeah. And so did you and Jerry then also have your own little separate meetings and things?
Well, I worked with him, but I put it all together. I had the committees and everything together before we ever met in Helena. I didn't show up to anybody. I kept them my little black briefcase, but I had the committees and everything set up.
Yeah. Well, Tom Haines was the Speaker Pro Tem?
Yeah, he was a foot behind me all the time, and a little dubious, I think, of my little upper. But he was a good man. Him and I, we thought alike. But,
yeah.
He was with the. this local grocery concern,
he was
executive secretary for them.
For the grocery stores out of Missoula, I think, as well as when he was a legislator.
Good man.
Yeah.
But I had, I think I had one more year on him. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Now, Clyde, you mentioned right at the beginning of our interview, when I asked you, part of this project has been to try to better understand the supposed involvement in the politics of our state of the Anaconda Company. And you mentioned right at the outset of our interview that you didn't think there was anything wrong or bad.
It was the greatest thing in the world. The Anaconda Company to Montana Power is the greatest thing ever. Look how they kept that thing going all those years. And to the Democrats, they had strong leaders, they got in, so they worked with us on a bipartisan basis.
And the idea was to hold taxes down and move the economy forward.
Hell, done away with county government and everything now.
Yeah.
Well, this thing's going plumb wild.
Yeah.
Crazy, the amount of money. When we set up, we finished the legislature, we appropriated so much money, and when we got back up there, we wanted it spent, and the balance turned over to us, and it was.
But you've said that you were personally very independent of the Anaconda Company and the Montana Power
Company. I didn't have anybody come around and tell me what to do. If to the degree of my political philosophy I voted for, I didn't have to have them tell me.
Okay. And so you also said that you kind of thought they ran the state and that it was good that they did?
Well, they didn't run the state. You know, they knew what was going on, but there was nothing wrong with that. No longer you being my dad was in a farming business, same damn thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You're looking out for the family?
Yeah.
It was all looking out for the family. The family was the taxpayers of the people of Montana.
And so there was a kind of a cooperative arrangement to just...
That's right. And I never had them put any B on me. They might write me a letter all once in a while, but if I agreed with their thinking, well, that was it.
And the thinking was just generally conservative policy on
that's
taxes.
Right,
and
That's right.
And so how do you associate the Montana Power Company with the Anaconda Company?
I never did.
You saw them as very separate and different?
They were separate and different. They worked together politically, but that didn't bother me any because they both thought the way I did.
Yeah.
Conservative.
We've talked some about some of the lobbyists, and I think we've mentioned Boo McGilvray, we've mentioned Al Wilkinson.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Lloyd Crippen.
Lloyd Crippen. Jim Hoy was up there in later years.
And he represented the railroads, I think.
Yes.
And Ty Robinson, do you remember Ty?
Yes. What's the old boy from north of Missouri over there, Robinson Bridge?
Fred Robinson?
Fred Robinson. I served with him. Good man.
He was a senator for many
years.
Yes,
good man.
Do you remember at all anything about Gurney Moss, senator from Whitefish?
I never served. It must have been before my time.
He was just finishing up just as you were getting started, I think.
Yeah, could be.
Well, anything else in conclusion? Anything you'd like to say?
Well,
when you look back over your long career in politics?
When I got into it, I was talked into it in the first place. The guy talked me into it was Republican. Of course, he talked enough with me. He knew I was pretty much Republican. But...
And who was that again, the county attorney?
Oh God, he's...
You mentioned his name.
He's got a couple of brothers that are doctors. He was from Nebraska. He went to school, his law degree in Nebraska, and he was born and raised down here in Wyoming.
That's okay.
It'll come to me. That fall I took the other day, I don't know how hell I ever did. That's the hardest fall I ever took in my life.
Yeah, that's a heck of a nose.
I've never had a black eye. I never did get in a fight because my nose is always so damn tender, you know. Look at this thing on these glasses went down through there.
Yeah.
Man, hell, all these tubes in here, they're all broke up, too.
Let me ask you just a couple more names of legislators and see if you've got any reaction to them or you can remember them at all. There was a fellow named Mervyn Dempsey out of Butte. Do you remember anything about him?
Name was familiar, but I never knew him. Must have been before my time.
Jake Frank.
Oh, yeah, the red-eyed liberal up here, Laurel. Jake Frank, you bet. He was a liberal if there ever was. Him and I never saw eye to eye on anything.
But you served in the House with him in the
Yes.
Do you remember, this would have been pretty early in your career too, and he was over in the Senate, Troy Evans? He's a senator, Republican senator out of Butte?
This must have been just for my time. I never really got acquainted with him.
Leroy Anderson, who went on to become a member of Congress.
Well, yeah, he was a good liberal. I was never in favor of him, that's for damn sure. But he was in the...
Did you know him personally at all?
No. I hadn't got into it then, but...
Fred Broder?
Oh, yeah, Fred Broder. Oh, yeah, Fred. Oh, good old Fred. Yeah, damn, he's a guy. One of the best. All that bunch from Kalispell were great. They were all great in later years. I can't remember who was in there when I came in, but...
Con Lundgren, Marshall Murray?
Yeah, Con Lundgren, Marshall Murray.
Yeah. A guy named Charles Servosky from Lewistown?
Yeah, Chuck. Yeah, he was a Democrat, but he was pretty conservative. You know, he was in business up there, so I get along with them guys all right.
John McDonald?
Yeah, John was a little more liberal than I, but I got along with John fine.
Yeah.
He'd be a liberal Democrat, I'd say. Yeah.
Well, anything else?
All right, I get along with the liberals if they're straightforward and above board with everything.
Well, sure.
Just dealing behind the counter, I don't like.
You don't like that.
I don't like.
Well, anything to say in conclusion or anything, just as you look back over your career in politics?
Well, I look back on it, it's been a hell of a life. I'm just so fortunate to have done what I did. You know, Western States Water Council. You know, when old Forrest Anderson, when I got off. You know, I got a Dear John letter. Well, he says, due to geographic considerations, I can't use you anymore. So we put this guy sold water softeners from a little guy up in central Montana. Put him on the water board. Here's a farm and rancher water board. Irrigated land. Put him on the water board. That's the damnest thing I ever heard of. I should have blown that all over the paper, but I didn't. God damn.
Seems like kind of a funny connection.
Well, hell, he probably did any more than know enough to turn the damn faucet on that water softener. God. That's an old Forrest Anderson. He didn't know anything about agriculture.
Oh, that's for sure. Do you have any recollections of him? Did you ever meet him?
No, he died of Alzheimer's. My wife died after 19 years of Alzheimer's.
Huh.
I took care of her for 10 years, and he died... He was a neighbor to my son there in Bozeman. He died of Alzheimer's in his own little house back there.
Yeah.
Oh, he was a liberal, that guy. Him and I, we didn't say I own anything. I was pretty conducive to getting along, but when it comes to that liberal politics, no way.
Didn't like that.
No way. You rubbed elbows with him, I didn't like.
Well, Clyde, appreciate the time you've taken for the interview.
I hope I've done you some good.
Okay, thank you.